Good morning, everybody. The Mary Griffith Show is underway on Thursday, April 11th. It's 9:20 straight up. We had a busy community calendar, and now we're going to turn our attention to the Quincy Community Theater. I know that Refreshment Services Pepsi is a big sponsor for the theater, so we're excited about that. And, of course, they bring you the Mary Griffith Show each and every morning, brought to you by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. And thanks to the guys from Pepsi, I have sugar-free mug root beer to enjoy later today. Yeah. Quade brought me home some swag from his personal appearance. So Burgundy is here to talk about the Quincy Community Theater. First, we're going to get to the next show coming up, and then we'll get to auditions for the next show. But Shakespeare in Love, people have seen the movie. I haven't.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see the screen, you know, the stage production. But Shakespeare in Love, and a lot of people, I don't think they quite understand what the show's about. It's not really a Shakespeare, I mean, talk about this, because ticket sales are kind of slow, we'll be honest.
Yeah.
And I think people are confused. They don't know what Shakespeare in Love is.
Absolutely. You know, I think people hear Shakespeare and they think it's going to be a Shakespeare show. And it's a show about Shakespeare, but it's not Shakespeare. And so when you think of Shakespeare, you think of that iambic pentameter, you think you're going to have a hard time understanding this. This was written in the 90s. It's just like you and I talking right now. But it's really talking about who this great playwright was before he became that great playwright. And at this point, he's about to write Romeo and Ethel the Pirate's Daughter. And dealing with a lot of writer's block and how that goes through the process. And if you are familiar with shows like Romeo and Juliet, there are certainly a few nods that you're going to pick up. But really, it's just this hilarious comedy and sweeping romance talking about this so well-known person that we all had to read in eighth grade when we were experiencing Romeo and Juliet for the first time.
So you would have been reading Romeo and Ethel the Pirate's Daughter, except Shakespeare's writer's block got unblocked by a little foxy girl that came along in his life. We don't want to give too much away, but it is, like you said, it's language of the modern time.
Absolutely.
You don't have forthwith and forthwith, you know, we don't have to worry about all of that. But it is telling the story of what happens when a writer, just happens to be William Shakespeare, has an idea for Romeo and Ethel, the pirate's daughter, and says, something's not right. This isn't working for me.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, then something happens that changes that focus.
And you see some of these really famous scenes play out from Romeo and Juliet. Again, if you know the show, great. If not, you're still going to enjoy what's happening on our stage. But you see how much of not the typical Romeo a young Will Shakespeare is in dealing with his, you know, beloved muse that he finds in the story. So.
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing a pirate ship and Ethel's the pirate's daughter.
Well,
I mean,
there might be a boat on that stage. You'll just have to wait and see.
You have to wait and see. Burgundy, we talk about this. The Quincy Community Theater is so unique for a town our size. It is all volunteer actors, except every once in a while you will pay a professional actor or actress to come in, and every once in a while you will hire from New York City, as you have, a professional director to come in. But by and large, the theater has an extremely small staff. Mm-hmm. Volunteers do the yeoman's part of the work at no pay. And we rely on patrons to support the theater through their ticket sales and their annual subscriptions. Mm-hmm. But things have changed in the past years.
Yeah.
People aren't as willing to buy a season ticket as they were, say, 10 years ago.
Yeah,
that puts a crimp, though,
in
your job, because you got to watch the money.
It definitely has changed our approach to budgeting and how we're looking at things holistically. But I think that's just kind of where the industry is right now. People don't plan their year as far in advance. You know, you look at what you've got coming up this weekend and decide whether or not you want to go see a show. And that's fine. Certainly, we definitely want those people to still come. But we do rely a lot on those season subscriptions to just kind of help us get through the year when we don't have those shows going on.
The other thing that the season ticket helps with is you're guaranteed you're going to get a seat for the big blockbusters.
Exactly.
Because for every Shakespeare in Love that they do, they're also going to do a big, you know,
Cinderella.
And, you know, again, one of the ways to make sure that you have a rounded out theater experience is to buy a season ticket. So how can we get tickets to Shakespeare in Love? And Can we buy a season ticket still?
Yeah, absolutely. We are still offering season tickets. You get quite a bit of a discount on your tickets if you go ahead and get that season ticket.
See, folks, you know I'm cheap. Anybody who listens knows I'd be cheap.
It's definitely the most cost effective. And you also get the perk, like you said, of securing your seats. Either you have them for the year ready to go, or you get kind of a priority situation where you get to pick your seats a couple weeks before they go on sale to the general public, which means you sometimes get the most coveted seats in the auditorium. So those are still on sale. You can get those on our website or by calling the box office. Or you can get your single ticket to Shakespeare in Love. We'd love to see you. Maybe see if you like it and then think about the rest of the season. And those are also on our website or by calling our box office.
And, of course, if you want to have a more personal experience, you can stop by the box office anytime between like 10 and 4, 10 and 4:30, Monday through Friday at the Oakley Lindsay Center. One thing I like is if you haven't been to the theater before, number one, you get to walk into the Oakley Lindsay Center. You may have been over on the convention side, but you may never have been on the theater side.
Right.
You also, they'll turn the screen around and say, this is where you'll be seated. There isn't a bad seat. The way the theater was designed with 498 seats.
It's an important number for our licensing.
Yes. So. And people always say, well, how do you know it has 498 seats? I said, because if your theater has 500 seats or more, you have to pay twice as much money. So trust me, when they were building that theater and I was involved in that a little bit,
it
we kept that
thoughtful.
To 498. You
very
know, there's
thoughtful.
Never going to have a crowd of 500 there. I can guarantee you that. But just little things like that,
right.
You know, community theaters having to say, we can't have 500 seats.
Exactly.
We have to have 498, just a little perks and things. But as far as the lighting, the sound, all of that, it's top drawer. Professionals that come here
absolutely.
Are quite amazed. In fact, some professionals that come here say they wish they could work in a theater like this all the time.
Yeah, it's been really incredible. So we frequently bring in professional lighting designers, scenic designers, and this year directors to help us with the season. And it's so interesting to hear their experience and how it compares to other places. And it always just reminds me how fortunate we are to really have this kind of space in our community. Because I think there's a reputation for community theaters. I think it's a little bit lower quality than what you're going to find in other places. And we work really hard to bring the best quality, and we live in such a fortunate community where we have so many talented folks that it really does feel like there's professionals on that stage.
So Shakespeare in Love, how much are tickets?
They start at $23 and go up to $27 depending on where you sit. It opens April 19th through the 21st, so coming up real soon. And then the following weekend after that, the 25th through the 28th.
Always a two-week run. Tell us a little bit about how the director is settling in, because I will tell you one thing that's always different, and I've worked with these professional directors from New York and L.A., they have to adapt a little bit to the fact that we're all volunteers.
Yes.
So we are not professionals, and we can't be driven like a herd of mules, although they try. But, no, I mean, it takes a different kind of person to direct community theater, because
absolutely.
I always say, there are people on that QCT stage that are just as talented as anybody that won an Oscar this year.
Absolutely.
But they choose to live in Quincy and they're a mailman. You know, they just don't want to go out and live out of their car for 5 years trying to become Kevin Costner.
Exactly.
So they get their fix by being on our local stage. It doesn't mean they're any less good. If you've seen shows down there, you know it.
Yeah.
So how does the new director deal with all that?
Yeah, our guest director, Alyssa Wolf, she's from the Chicagoland area. And she has been wonderful, first of all, with all of our volunteers. I think the biggest learning curve most of the time for our guest director is just the availability of the people. You know, we have to have our rehearsals in the evening. We can't do a lot during the day with them. And so the scheduling is always a little bit of an eye-opener, I think, from the beginning. But she's been great to roll with the punches. She's a self-proclaimed Shakespeare nerd. And so she's got actually a master's degree and is working on her doctorate in Shakespeare. And that, for this show particularly, brings so much knowledge just in helping us create that world. You're going to see beautiful, rich costumes on that stage that are period appropriate. You're going to see incredible swordsmanship. We've got a fight choreographer coming in to help us with this one, and the weapons are all period appropriate. The set itself is inspired by the Globe Theater. So again, there's just a lot of that rich, layered history coming into play, and if you're familiar with it, you're going to see it on stage, but if not, it just helps create the world and tell the story. You know, I think people hear Elizabethan England and think it's this prim and proper and gilded, you know, from the picture. pictures that we see. And it wasn't. It was dirty. It was crass. There was a lot of humor and just quickness. I mean, it's such a fast show.
You mean people had heard of sex even back then?
They had. Shocking. I know. They may have called it different words. But
in fact, the girls had no problem. I'm surprised some of them even wore blouses. Their shirts were so low, they hardly covered up anything.
That is true.
Everything was shoved up, you know.
It was up there.
So for $23 to $27, you can still get a ticket that is unobstructed view.
Absolutely.
You're never more than 30 seats from the stage or 30 rows from the stage. It's incredible, the seating. And you're going to see a woman direct this play who has done this and is making this her profession. And so she is bringing, you know, the lighting's going to be great, the costumes, everything's going to be spot on. And you've got great local actors. Who's Shakespeare and who's his muse?
So Jeremy Kerfman is our young Will Shakespeare, and then his muse, Viola Davis, is the character's name, is played by Adrian, who's been in a ton of shows with us. So
ever since she was a little girl
exactly.
with me. Yeah, I don't feel old when I go and see these people playing, you know, sex starlets, and I'm like, I remember you and you had pigtails. You
and
know?
Jerry Conboy is Elizabeth I, so you can just picture her embodying that role if you've seen her on stage. And there's a lot of other familiar faces if you've been a longtime QCT patron that you'll recognize.
That is great. Well, of course, the best part about QCT, it's community theater, and you could be on that stage.
Yes.
And so you've got auditions coming up for the show called Lost Girl. So get your tickets to Shakespeare in Love. If you haven't ever been to the, and I still run into people that have never been. And
all
I'm like,
the time.
What are you waiting for? And they're like, well, I don't know if I want to go see a community theater production. I said, I've been to the Fox and seen the same show down there, and we did it better.
Yeah.
And I'm not lying.
No,
you know,
so lucky. And this one is great. It's a comedy. It's not a musical, and I think that sometimes can turn people off.
Now, see, I love musicals, but a lot of people, I'm not going to some damn musical.
Exactly. If you love, like, Monty Python or The Princess Bride, this is the type of humor that we're talking about with this show. You're going to love it.
Shakespeare in Love is going to be great. Now, the next thing up is Lost Girl. Mm-hmm. And this is student actors, student, I guess, can be 18, 19. You can stretch it a little bit through college. And again, for those who have never been part of a QCT show and want their children or their grandchildren to have that outlet, this might be something to just come and try out. If you don't get a part on stage, you can always work backstage.
Absolutely. And we love our crew.
The cast party's the same, whether you're a star on your chair or whether you're in black and back and nobody knows who you are.
That is very true.
So what is Lost Girl about?
Lost Girl, so if you saw Peter Pan with us, you're familiar with those iconic characters. Lost Girl is Wendy's story after she comes back through the window and how she deals with kind of re-entering society, basically, after going on this magical...
After you've been in Neverland, you can go back to London.
Exactly. And so Lost Girl is really telling her story. And Wendy is such an interesting character in Peter Pan. You know, you really dig into it and you see all the things. She has to be the mother. She's the love interest. And so seeing her come home and have to deal with kind of the after of this magical story. And so we really need, especially high school girls with this one. It's eighth grade through college. You can audition. There is one adult female character as well. But we've got a lot of iterations of Wendy coming to that stage. And it's a beautiful story, truly.
And, you know, we all talk about, you know, Taylor Swift and how she lived in that little town in Pennsylvania and her parents made the choice to move to Nashville to give her a chance. The lady that is coming to direct this is from New York City.
She is.
Now, you may have a child that you think is extremely talented, and you may be right or you may be wrong, but if that child is under the tutelage of this New York director...
Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying, but I mean, if she, you know,
Shoshana.
A little bitty Mary Kathleen, you know, when I was 12, if only my light had been shown to some bigger audience, I might not be here. I might be in New York.
Well, we would miss you, Mary.
I know. But I mean, it is a chance for your children here to be under the direction of a professional from New York City.
Absolutely. You know, and I don't want to belittle our staff in saying in any way.
They're all good, yes.
But it's been a real blessing this year to bring in guest directors and be able to pull in different experiences and have their backgrounds and expertise coming in. It teaches us a lot about different ways that we can do theater and approach theater. And Shoshana Kanali, who's directing Lost Girl, is just wonderful. We've had so many conversations with her. And she has some connections connections to the area. She went to school at Webster, which is kind of adjacent in St. Louis, and several connections in the community. We brought in another director previously who she went to school with. So very connected. It's a small theater world out there. It really is.
Well, folks, get your tickets for Shakespeare in Love. It opens not this weekend, but next weekend. Tickets are on sale for between $23 and $27, depending on where you sit in the theater. And then if you know a youngster, especially a young lady between, you know, eighth grade and college, they're going to need a lot of chicks to hang around with Wendy, and they need a Wendy. So, and there's always a good part for one adult. I've been in more kids shows as the evil teacher, the nice teacher.
It's sometimes the best, though. So much energy to it.
My favorite story, though, is one kid goes to me and goes, "How come you can never remember what you're supposed to do?" And I'm like, "'Cause I'm old." But thank you. I said, that's why they cast you, because you are my partner. And if I forget something, then you have to remember.
Exactly.
Because, see, I always forgot to take this prop off stage. So he always had to get this for me.
Yeah.
So after about four or five times of this at rehearsal, he's like, "Why can't you ever remember to do this?" And I'm like, "You just wait till you're my age.
That's so funny.
And you'll have to find somebody to help you, too. So that's your job."
Kids
say
the darndest things, right?
Whole reason you were cast in this show is to take that prop off stage for me. So just be thankful that I'm forgetful, or you may not have a role. Burgundy, thank you so much.
Thank
Folks,
you.
Support the QCT. They do great things. They're really, if you saw Matilda, oh, my God, that was so spectacular.
It was.
Can't even imagine how you're going to top that. But they're going to, folks. And remember, Cinderella's just around the corner. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. He always brings a smile to my face. Will Spear is here from Hanson Spear Funeral Home, but that's not why he's here today to talk about Hanson Spear. Oh, no, he rarely works, folks. He's a professional do-gooder, and today he's representing Horizons Soup Kitchen. Good morning, Will.
Good morning.
And then a woman who does work every day, not taking any advice from Will Spear. She runs the Horizon Soup Kitchen.
He gives pretty good advice.
Yeah, he does.
I think you want to listen to it.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? I don't want to listen to it. Sarah Stevens is here as well from Horizons. Welcome to you.
Good morning.
We are here because there is a big charity event coming up, not this Friday night, but a week from Friday night. And this is one of the highlights of Horizons fundraising, because you get to have a nice little cocktail, a glass of wine at the Quincy Country Club, and look over some beautiful artwork that is done by local people, or maybe has been put up and commissioned by local people. And it will all be for sale that night. Mm-hmm. And people will get a beautiful piece of art and will help Horizon Soup Kitchen. So tell us about the event.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have kind of expanded all genres of art over the years as the event has grown and changed. And so we have several art experience items this year online. I say, you know, we are created in God's image, and He is the master creator. So there's a creator inside of all of us.
We just have to find out what
it
is.
And you know what? So there's something there for everyone. I think food is art. I think drink is art, and who doesn't want to consume their art? And we're honestly,
I love to have some homebrew. You betcha.
And so we have some fabulous experience items. If you can get online and start bidding right now, there's several items that already have pretty good dollar bids up on them. So we just invite everybody to get online and check it out. There's going to be something for everyone, and we're excited about the event.
And what is that website?
The website is horizonsquincy.com. Right there on the homepage, you can click the link to buy tickets. Will and I were just talking. We believe our tickets are a bargain at $35. You get a drink, a glass of wine with that, donated by Ranella Company. Some fabulous appetizers, fellowship and fun and lots of laughter, and some incredible opportunities to support us and take home a fabulous surprise.
Yeah, so not only just artwork that has been created, but a chance to have more of an artistic experience. And that could be theater tickets, or that could
be
learn to paint, you know, or somebody. I mean, I always think, you know, Jackson Pollock. Mm-hmm. Now, why the heck can't I just make a big mess like that and somebody pay $10 million for that?
What's right? Like, if I just threw paint at a wall and put a price tag on.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, we have a painting party with Jen Bach Nelson. We do have tickets to the community theater, along with a fabulous dinner. We are doing something a little different this year. At 6:30 p.m., we are having a live auction of three fabulous experience items. And so we're excited to see how that goes.
Well, what are those?
Is the tunnel tour one of the live auctions?
It is not one of the live auctions.
So I'm going to tell you about the tunnel tour, even though it's not a live item, but because we did this. I got a package like this last year, and it's a tunnel tour for like 15 people at the old Dick's Brothers Brewery. So you start down at the Rotskeller, and after the tour, they're going to have a German beer tasting. I think it's a flight of four different beers that you'll get a taste and experience. The tunnel tours are great. If you've ever gone to the Oktoberfest, my dad used to do the tours, so I enjoyed going with him. But then when we went last year, they've actually opened up more tunnels and
more cabins.
There's more spaces down there than there were, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. So it's a really, really neat experience to see some Quincy history, and you walk under York Street on the tunnel tour. I mean, it's a neat thing. It's a good experience. That's such a neat experience, and you get to experience some history of Quincy some art tasting.
And if you buy that package, it's your chosen friends. It's not just some group that you're flying together with. It's your chosen friends. You get to pick the date. You get to do it within reason. You get to pick your own time frame. So let's talk about this 6:30 live auction, though. What's on this live auction?
Well, and I'll have to say, we joined the Spears last year on that. It was so much fun.
Anytime you go anywhere with the Spears, you and I have been guests of the Spears before.
Have. So, you know, that's a fabulous item. And so the other auction items are, we have a 4x4x4 dinner from Main Course, one of our favorite places to eat. He does a fabulous chef's tasting menu in the kitchen for four people and pairs that with four whiskeys. And so that's just fun. Jeremy from Platt Daddies is going to come to your backyard and barbecue for you. A barbecue for 20 people, the food prepared for you right at your home. And then we have live music by Craig Corzad at that party. And then Horizons, our chefs, we have Le Cordon Bleu trained chefs, fabulous chefs. They're going to come to your home and prepare a meal. An Italian feast for 10. We have wine on Broadway pairing that, all the courses, with a spectacular wine. And then flowers by Ruthie B. So just the perfect party in your home for 10 people.
Do we have to reveal that we didn't cook it? Could we have the, could we have the Horizon Chef scurry away
to the
cupboard?
They absolutely could.
Well, I take my spotless apron off and say, put a little flour on my face.
That's what I was going to say. Throw a little flour on the front of the apron.
You're a little early. I'm barely ready. I hope my asparagus come fee.
Julia Child.
Yeah. I'd have a Band-Aid on my thumb where I'd been chopping.
I would come for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, if I pay the money, I don't necessarily have to do full disclosure that I didn't cook the meal, you know.
Yeah, we did it last year, and it was so much fun. I actually went and helped with the meal last year, and it was really special.
You know, nobody has ever asked me to make a celebrity meal for anybody. I wonder why that is.
I think you make a really good
put a railroad spike through a piece of spam like nobody's business. If anybody would like macaroni and cheese with tiny weenies cut up in it, I'm your girl. So this event is going to be on, what's the exact date?
It's April 19th, next Friday. So it's
next
coming
Friday.
Up. And, you know, tickets are available now. We would love for you to buy your tickets now, and we'd love to know how many people to plan for.
Sure.
But we also
and you get $5
discount. Absolutely. But we also want you to know there are tickets that night at the door. There are plenty of tickets. A lot of people do wait to pay at the door, which is absolutely fine. We won't run out of space. We won't run out of food. We never do. So, you know, if you don't know until the last minute, that's absolutely fine. Come join us. You won't be sorry that you did. It's really always a time. I love to just stand back and just watch everybody.
It's a lot of fun.
Listen to the laughter and just listen to the friendship and the camaraderie of everyone. So
get your tickets at horizonsquincy.com. It is from 5 to 7:30 on next Friday night, the 19th of April. You can drop in any time. There will be silent auction items that you can bid on and something for everybody's price point. And then there'll be some bigger items like dinner for 20. That's going to cost you some money. And then the live auction, you know, will have some special, special, special treats. And the most important thing is it all goes to help Horizon. So we're going to talk about it a little bit more. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll get to the heart of the matter, which is what Horizons is and what they do and why it's so important that they have these fundraisers, because there is great need in our community to lift people up out of their impoverished circumstances and give them some dignity and hope. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Will Spear is here from Hanson Spear Funeral Home. And, you know, Will is one of those guys that, you know, Hanson Spear is in business to serve our community in their professional capacity, but everybody on staff at Hanson Spear just has that heart gene in them. Not only do they help families in their time of need, but they help everybody. And one of the places they love to help is Horizons Food Kitchen. And this is just a great place. So, Sarah, tell us about Horizons. Some people still don't know where it is. They still don't know what you do. And if you've never eaten down there, you're missing out, because Greg and I eat down there occasionally. You can just make a donation. I mean, you know, you don't have to go there just because you can't afford a meal. The food's good enough to pay for. And so sometimes on a Friday, we might be down in the summer. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Horizons has been in existence for over 15 years. We celebrated our 15th anniversary in November, which is crazy.
It is.
I've been there almost all of those 15 years. And so it's been just an incredible journey to see how this community has embraced our work and come alongside us and what we've been able to accomplish. Last year, we served 50,000 hot, nutritious meals. We rescued 500,000 pounds of food, a lot of food that would otherwise be discarded, that's still perfectly good, and we've used it to set a table for our hungry neighbors. And so, but a lot of folks come to Horizons for more than food. We kind of think food is what brings people.
Food is their immediate need,
right,
which is, I'm hungry, my children are hungry, I have to get some nutrition into them. Mm-hmm. But then your staff has a way, not forcing, you know, it's not forced or anything, but talk about after the meal, or even sometimes during the meal, the ministry begins.
Right. It's usually during the meal, honestly. And so, getting to know people and getting, you know, I probably will get the saying backwards, but people don't, what is it, the one they don't know you care until they know you, I don't know what it is.
They don't know you
don't
care.
Yeah.
They don't know you care until you show you care.
Yeah, you know,
something
and so,
like that.
And so they do. They pour into people and they truly get to know them. And a lot of times then those, you know, the individuals will find a renewed interest in life, and it's, you know, getting to the root of what brings them to the soup kitchen, and then we can, you know, provide assistance and tools to come alongside them and help them. We have an addiction recovery program that is incredibly successful, you know, a really high success rate, and it's because we've got someone there on site who is a recovered addict who knows, he experienced it and he overcame, and that's just an incredible encouragement for individuals who are struggling and they think there isn't a way out. They see there's a way out, and they see somebody that cares to help them get out. And so we just have so many incredible stories. I just got a letter from a guest who used our food pantry, who said, you know, I have a job. I work really hard. My husband is ill, and we've had incredible bills. And I felt so hopeless and ashamed sitting in line waiting to receive food. And I thought, what have I done wrong? I've tried to budget. And, you know, she said, but when I went to the car with the volunteer who helped me load my car, I felt zero shame. I felt zero condemnation. I truly just felt loved. And I knew everything would be okay. And so we have a once-in-a-lifetime team of people who are just pouring into people who, you know, don't have safety nets. I always say, you know, we're all one tragedy away from the soup kitchen. It depends on how big our safety net is.
Medical. A lot of people think, well, you know, people lose their job or whatever. The really number one factor in impoverishment is ungodly medical bills. And, you know, yes, you can take the rest of your life literally to pay them off. I mean, they're not going to take your put your gallbladder back in. But the point is, you treat people with dignity, because it's not necessarily, I mean, yes, we should all have insurance, and yes, we should all have this, but there is no insurance. Like, you know, I have a $7,000 deductible on my insurance. That's a lot of money to pay if something, if I get hit by a bus, I'll have some medical coverage, but I've got a big out-of-pocket expense. A lot of people have $250,000 medical bill. What are they supposed to do with that? And if they can be treated with dignity and get some counseling, that there is hope. You know, don't say, I'll never get over this. It's possible.
Absolutely. You know, the poverty rate in Adams County actually went down 1%. But the alarming statistic is the individuals who have incomes, who are working, have very limited assets and very low wages. That percentage of population raised almost 10%. And we all know how expensive it is to live. Groceries, everything is expensive. And so knowing that that percentage of population has increased so dramatically, I think that's why we see, you know, an increased need at Horizons. And so that's, you know, that's what Hope for Horizons is all about. You know, we had a young gal who came to the door late one night, and she said, if the lights were on inside, I knew I would find hope inside. And so that's what this night is about. This night is about bringing hope to our community and helping us by investing in hope. You know, it takes resources to invest in that hope. Our staff has grown, and I see the greatest impact. We've had a greater impact in the last couple of years than we ever have. And the difference is our team has grown, and we have individuals who truly care and love and serve the people that we're serving. And the impact is amazing. We're seeing people, we're seeing families reunited. We're seeing people get back to work. We're seeing people's lives restored. And I have stories. I mean, I have living, breathing stories of those people whose lives have been restored. And you can't put a price tag on that. I think a lot of times as a not-for-profit, we're asked to measure things that are immeasurable. How can you measure something like that? How can you put that in a document and measure it?
You can measure 50,000 meals, but you can't measure the family that came back together because now they have hope. The father doesn't feel he has to abandon his children to put them on welfare so they'll have a place to live. The family that had alcohol or substance abuse that comes back together. The family that was torn apart by, you know, some trauma that happened can all happen. Will, why are you so interested in Horizons? You've been doing this since the soup kitchen first opened at your old church. Yeah. I mean, this has been something that's been on your heart for a long time.
I love the mission and the ministry, but one of the things that I would underscore is, yes, we're feeding people, and as Horizons has grown, I mean, there's a lot more services. Sarah's talked about the addiction and that recovery and all of these things that you're able to help people beyond just putting food on the table for them. But one of the things that strikes me, and I, you know, don't volunteer on site like I used to, you know, I do other things like this fundraiser and that, but, you know, the dignity is one of the things, like to be able to have the staff and the people that actually show they care, that remember names, that call people. I mean, I would call people by name if I knew them and I saw them coming through the line when I was serving over at St. John's. And it seems like such a simple thing, but that gives so much value and meaning, and you could actually see that when it happened and realize, like, wow, I need to make sure anyone I know I call by name and address them by name, because you take away that feeling of shame that they're having to come through there and take that away, because that's not necessary.
Okay.
And I think it's just, you know, you're doing good for your neighbor and you're loving people like God told us to.
Like Jesus told us we ought to. What a concept. Real quick, very short time. When is your soup kitchen open and when is your pantry open?
The soup kitchen is open Monday through Friday from noon to 1, and then on Sundays from 5 to 6. Food pantry is open Sunday afternoon, 2 to 4. Wednesdays from 10:30 to 12:30. And then we've got a special food pantry on Monday where people can come every week. They work alongside us. We do a time of fellowship and relationship building, and they get to take a box of food.
Sounds pretty good. Mm-hmm. Will Spear, Sarah Stevens, thank you, folks. April 19th, be at the Country Club and help this organization out. They need you.
Thanks, Mary.